And for those that are joining us in the parking lot and also later on WLLL Radio, those of you that are online, we welcome you this morning. Welcome all of the members that are here in the congregation. Let's make some noise so they can hear us out there. Amen. I want to share with you a passage of scripture I've been reading through the Bible every year and trying to pick up things that I've missed before in reading. And I'm telling you, there's so much in the Word of God. It's like a deep well. It's like a deep well that you dip in and you get what you need. And then you find out that it's still providing for us. Every time you are able to dip into the well of God's grace and the mercy of God's word, you're able to bring out something. And I want to share with you on the next couple of Sundays about praying powerful prayers. Now, we're not going to talk about powerful prayers. I want you to act on this thing of how do you pray powerful prayers? How do you pray powerful prayers? And I'm going to be looking at the life of Elijah. Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, and he's found in 1 Kings. You'll be able to find references to him. But today we're going to come from the New Testament. The New Testament for you, those of you that are joining us online, and you can get your iPad, or if you have your Bible, you can get your Bible. However you bring up the Word, bring up the Word. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, bring up the Word. Bring up the Word. Amen. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful. Look at that. It's powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being. Say it with me. Elijah was a human being. Amen. That's all he was. He was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. My God, my God. And again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Praying powerful prayers. You may be seated. As we pray, God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the mercy that you've shown us in these times. Lord, people have been without power, but they're getting that back. But Lord, may we never be without the power of prayer. May we always recognize that you are God, that you are sovereign, and that you're at work in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. Bless us now. In our time together, bless, Lord, as we receive your word into our lives, that it might be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How do you pray powerful prayers? Or is that for somebody else? Can anybody do it? And it's interesting that as the Apostle James closes his letter that he had sent out to those who were scattered throughout the region, out the area, he sent a message to them. As you know, James is the one that tells us that you got to act on faith. Faith without works is what? Dead. So James is telling you, you got to act on your faith. And it's interesting how he closes his conversation on acting on faith by saying to you, you got to pray the prayer of faith. Now, a lot of people will say, well, I'm going to resign that, or I'm going to let somebody else pray for me. But James is really telling you, pray for yourself. Others might be aware of what you need, but they don't have the deep yearning in your heart for what you need. Amen? They don't always understand what you're going through, and therefore they can pray to a certain level, but they don't know like you know. They're unaware of all of the circumstances that you're involved in. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And I want you to notice this about prayer. I could probably say this and then we could close the sermon because it's really what it's all about. God already knows what you need. So what he wants you to do, listen to this. What God wants you to do is to pray an effective prayer. Pray a prayer that works. And you know what this amazing God will do? You know what he will do in your life. He'll even give you the words to say. We miss that. We think we got to tell God our emotions. No, God wants to know the truth about your circumstance. And God will actually, through the Holy Spirit, lay on your heart how you ought to be praying. Isn't that something? In other words, he will write the script for you. And he will tell you, pray this way, and I'll answer it. Great. Y'all don't miss that. Well, maybe it's me just got it right now. So in other words, God wants you to receive the blessing of his kingdom, but you got to know how to pray. He wants you to receive. It's not a wish list. Don't go to God and say, okay, I need a new refrigerator. Mine went out last week. The power went out and it didn't come back on. Y'all mighty quiet. Or my car's low on gas. And I think, Lord, I pray that he'd give me a tank of gas. Well, is that your prayer? Or do you want to pray powerful prayers? Do you want to pray the kinds of prayers that it will shake things? I'm here to tell you right now where we are in this time and age in which we are living. We need a church of God that will shake heaven. We need people of God that know the value and the worth of prayer. Man, I get excited when I talk about this thing. Because all this time I thought the prayer was dependent upon me. And I'm going to share some scriptures with you to show you that when you pray, the Holy Spirit is right there with you praying, making intercession for you. I'll show you that in just a minute. But listen to what James is saying. He said, now, what we're talking about is confessing our sins to each other. Some of y'all got a problem with that right there. Hold on. You got a problem with that because, wait a minute, I tried that one time, and then my business got put out in the street. And am I talking to anybody? Anybody know what I'm saying? But I mean, you have people that when you tell them in confidence, first of all, go to the ones that God directs you to. Don't go just to lottie-dottie everybody and think that's going to solve it. Are y'all listening to me in here? So when we confess our sins, I want to tell you that what happens is now the barriers are out of the way. See, sin is the thing that separates you from God, all right? You don't expect to go to God and you all nasty. You got to clean yourself up. And how do you clean yourself up? Only through the work of the Holy Spirit. Only through the grace and mercy of God. That's why time and again, God showed the Israelites how to get sacrifices, how to do these things. Why? Because God wanted them to be cleansed so that they could come to him without a mind that they were sin conscious. You know how it is when you have a sin consciousness and you're trying to pray and you're saying to yourself, God ain't gonna hear me because I'm dealing with these issues. Well, here it is right here. Here's your answer right here. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. And that word heal is not just talking about the physical ailments, but it's talking about you may be made, being made sound and whole in your mind and in your spirit so you can pray with confidence. Listen, if God tells you he's forgiven your sins, why do you keep beating yourself up over the same thing? Y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all got quiet. Anytime you mention sin in the church, you can hear a pin drop. Oh, Lord, somebody done told them what I did. Hey, look, I'm dealing with my own issues, all right? I ain't got time to deal with yours. I got to dump my own trash, all right? So what you need to do is to understand how that God, he wants us to be prepared for prayer. And when you come to God with a sin consciousness, you are not prepared for prayer. He wants so much to give you the things of the kingdom because he knows what will work in your life. He knows what will change things in your environment and where you are. God knows he wants to come in and deal with us in our pain, in our issues, but people are too proud to pray. Y'all mighty quiet. What is prayer? What is powerful prayer? Powerful prayer is when we can come before God and know that God hears us. Powerful prayer is needed to build a bridge of deliverance from the devastation so that we can define God's divine grace. In other words, you can either live where you are or have God to deal with your circumstances. And I'm telling you that when God steps in, everything changes. Everything changes in your life. Everything changes in your environment. And I'm going to tell you that mainly the change is within. He gives you peace when you pray. The scripture says that there are certain things that are impossible with man. In other words, we run into it and we can't do a thing about it. But notice the Bible says all things. Everybody say all things. All things are possible with God. So when we pray, we're praying for the impossibility. Are y'all listening here? I can make my car payment if I just am able to work, all right? Are y'all here? So I don't necessarily need to pray over that. But what I do need to pray is for men's hearts to be changed. What I do need to pray is that people would be saved. What I do need to pray is that God would bring control over this pandemic, all the vaccines in the world. And mind you, I'm going to take mine, amen, when my time comes. But that ain't going to really heal me altogether. I've got to depend on grace. I've got to depend on God's mercy. And you know what? What gives me the confidence? He's blessed me so far. He's blessed me up to this point. I'm going to do what I need to do, but the rest of it, the impossibility, I've got to give that to man. I'm glad this is going to be a couple of sermons because I can't get it all in today. Amen. I can't get it all in today. Here's what I learned about prayer. Prayer is information that God gives you and you communicate it back to him. And God says, all right then. Y'all didn't catch that. In other words, I was reading Charles Spurgeon the other day, and Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the forerunner of God's mercy. In other words, when you get to praying, you know that mercy is on its way. You see the shadow of God's mercy getting ready to come. And what prayer does, prayer is that shadow to let you know that mercy is on its way. I wish I had a praying church up in here. Then he went on to say is that when the shadow comes over you, you know that even though things have not changed, it's going to change. When you pray, you got to know that you're talking to God. When you pray, you got to know that what you're asking for is on God's list of what he's going to give you. Man, I can't talk to you today. Because when you pray, you ought to know that he's a merciful God. Listen, if he can make a way for you in eternity, he ought to be able to help you right now. Clap your hands, somebody. What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, first of all, prayer is God's gift of communication that he gave you to communicate with him. It's not a laundry list. It's not something that you come up with. Well, let me tell the Lord all about it. It's not a way for you to doctor up your gossiping about people. Woo, you got quiet in here. In other words, you, Lord, guess what Sister Sally did? That ain't what prayer is all about. Prayer is when God gives you his list and say this. I remember back in the country, we used to have these Mother's Day services, and every Mother's Day, we were supposed to get up and say our speech. And they give you the speech that you're supposed to say. Mary had a little lamb, fleece white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Everybody clapped their hand. And don't you notice, sometimes folks would forget their list. But out in the audience would be the one that gave them the speech. And all you got to do in order to get your speech is to look at what they were saying. If you can't read lips, then you're in trouble. Are y'all listening to me? When I was in the military, they would send us out on missions. Now, I was never in combat, but I actually served in areas where there were danger. But they would always give us a means of communication. And the thing was, they gave you the list of things to say. 10-4 meant it was all right or everything was good. And you had other signals that would tell you that you were in trouble. And when you made those calls to your headquarters or wherever you were coming from, they would send you the relief and the aid that you needed. Prayer is the communication gift that has been given to the church. But don't you know, some folks are so stubborn, they don't even want to pray. They don't even want to pray. And I'm going to tell you one thing that works every time. You don't have to come up with a long list. All you need to say is, Lord, have mercy. And I'm going to tell you that that moves heaven. It moves heaven on your behalf. But not only is the prayer the gift of communication, it is a means of seeking God's will on the earth. If there's anyone that knows how this world ought to operate, it's God. He made it. It belongs to him. And in the end of time, he's going to take it all back and hold folks accountable for not doing what they should have done. Are y'all still here? So why not pray right now, Lord, let your will be done. Now, I'm not talking about some broad statement. I'm talking about when things go sideways in your life. You get on your knees and said, Lord, first of all, help me to understand what your will is. Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray that prayer, you will get results from God. That is how you pray a prayerful prayer. So now, what have we learned so far? We've got a means of communication with God, but we also know that we want to pray God's will. Why? Because his will is what's best for me. I don't argue with that. That's why you got where you are right now, is because you've been walking in the grace of God and you've been praying in the will of God. And when you do that, you can always come out on top. Now, I did not say you will never have problems. Don't get it twisted. Oh, if I pray, I'm never going to have problems. I'm always going to have money in my bank account. No, not necessarily so. I'm never going to have to deal with COVID. You might have to deal with COVID, but when you deal with it, you come out on the other side. Are y'all listening to me up here? So when you pray in the will of God, you're praying the best thing for your life. Well, me and the Lord, we don't agree. I wonder why. I wonder why. Third thing about prayer, then I'm going to move on to some applications. Third thing about prayer. Remember now, Elijah was a what? He was a human being just like us. All right? But God took this human being, and he was actually from Judah. He was in a place that was way beyond his own borders. Came from over in Judea, went up into a place called Samaria, and started telling them, this is what the Lord says. Man, you try that nowadays, folks will say, you need to be in the institution. Are y'all listening to me? So Elijah was a man who prayed, and he understood what God's will is. So the third thing about prayer, not only is our means of communication and praying God's will, but it's the way that we receive revelation. The Bible will never become real to you unless you pray. You can read it, reread it, but until you pray and sit down with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, show me what you're talking about here. When you come across a passage of scripture, you ought to say, well, wait a minute, Lord, open my heart so I can receive this thing that I'm reading right now. All sufficient grace of God. What does that mean? But when you pray, God will show you. Look at somebody and say, God will show you. Don't touch them now. Don't. If they're your family member, it don't matter. You ain't going to touch me. What was it when they prayed about the revelation of God? Through prayer, God showed Abraham what his promises were. God showed him the generations to come and said, Abraham, I'm going to put it in your name. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be the father of many nations. And I'm going to bless you so that your seed will be as the stars of heaven. And you know what Abraham did as he looked up to God? He was actually praying. And God was telling him, this is what I'm going to do because you believe me. God said, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. God made those promises to Abraham. He revealed to him through his word. But not only Abraham, God showed Moses the law. And we think, well, Moses went up to the mountain 40 days, and that's how long it took God to give him the Ten Commandments. No. He and God were having conversations. They were talking, and God said, Moses, when you get back, show them what I showed you in the mountain, and you build it according to my standard. That's what God did for Moses. And God even showed Joshua. Joshua prayed. And this is what his prayer was. As we look at Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12. Joshua prayed, and he was in a battle, and he told God, Lord, let the sun stand still in the heaven, because we got some work to do. And let the moon not move until we're able to accomplish this battle. And you know what? God listened to him. Why? Because God put it on his heart. He wasn't controlling things. It was God. And he was praying what God wanted him to say. Are y'all still here? You're looking at me, but you're mighty quiet. Amen. Wave your hand. Let me know you're still here. All right. Those in the parking lot, don't go to sleep on me. All right. We're going to be done in a minute. Here it was. Elijah didn't know a thing about meteorology. And yet God told him, I'm going to cause it where it won't rain for 3.5 years. They're not going to even have dew on the earth. Everything is going to dry up. And you know what Elijah did? He told them what God said. But more than that, he said, now what God's going to do, he's going to shut down things and it will not rain for 3.5 years except by my word. Now remember, he is just a human. All right? You are just a human. But when you have the divine power and the revelation of God working in you, you can tell the devil, not today. Oh, y'all missed that. You can look at your circumstance and say, you might be big, but you're not bigger than my God. I just talked to him a few minutes ago. And God says it's time for you to go. Are y'all still listening to me? I know I get kind of loud. I'm from the country. Y'all understand. You understand. I get loud because I get excited. And when I get excited, I tell you what, I'm ready to take action. Now listen, I don't know whether you feel this way. I know some of you feel frustrated. I know some of you feel powerless. Some of you even feel lonely because the people you used to talk to and communicate with, you can't do that now. But how many of you have got to the point where you're saying, I'm not taking this anymore. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't even know when he's going to do it. But I'm going to have some joy in my heart right now. Remember now, prayer doesn't mean it's happening right now. It's just a shadow. But when you begin to cast a shadow over your problem, over that situation, over things for people to get, Lord, I don't know how long this child going to come home like this. I don't know how long they're going to be this way. You know what? Pray. Put a shadow over it and then watch God move on your behalf. Ah, I wish I had somebody that would listen to me. Elijah prayed powerful prayers. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, he was a prophet. Give us a break. I'm giving you a break because the Bible's already said he was human. This guy on one day could stand up and defend the name of God against the prophets of Baal. When he was on Mount Carmel, Elijah was bold. That brother got up there and he said, you know what? You call on your God, on your Baal. I'm going to call on the Lord. And guess what? God showed up, rained down the fire. He stood up against the prophets of Baal the very next day. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah ran. How many of us, the old folks would put it this way, I'm sometime up and I'm sometime down. How many of y'all remember that? What they meant was, on one day, I'm doing good. I'm walking by faith. I'm praying like I ought to. I'm living according to the word. The next day, I don't know where it came from. It must have been a Mack truck. Just knocked me off my spiritual feet. How many of y'all feel that way? Elijah had up and down days just like you and me. Got scared, ran away. Instead of him staying on Mount Carmel, he went down to Mount Horeb. And that's where God found him. And you know what God asked him? What are you doing here? Why are you giving up, man? I don't ask you. Why are you giving up, child of God? Oh, he went through his spiel, Lord, you don't know, I'm just the only prophet left. And they killed all the other prophets. And the Lord tapped him on and said, wait. I got 7,000 that have never bowed to Baal. Don't tell me you're the only one. Oh, isn't it something when God corrects you? Isn't it something when God rebukes you and said, wait a minute, hold on a minute. You ain't talking right. And then do you know what the Lord told him? He wanted to run away and God said, no, go back. God is telling you, don't give up, child of God. Oh, can I sing that old song to you? We come this far by faith. How? Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And he never, say it again, he never failed me, yet I feel like shouting up in here today. I want you to have as your assignment this week to pray powerful prayers. When you get on your knees, I want you to have the confidence that God has given you a means of communication. That if you pray, God will listen. Here, a couple of takeaway points I want to give you before we close today. Number one, you've got to look at this passage and say, wait a minute, God wants me to pray. In other words, He's inviting me to pray. May I remind you what it says in Matthew 11, verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How are you going to come to Him? Pray, casting that shadow. And He knows already what you need. So He says, come on. But Lord, you don't understand. I got all this stuff that I'm everybody say baggage. You know, you ought to drop the bag. You ought to stop being the bag lady and the bag man sometime. You ought to drop those old bags. Ain't got nothing but in it anyway. Some of y'all got stuff in your life you're still carrying it around. Talking about it's going to get better one day. Yeah, as soon as you drop it, that old attitude. If you would get rid of that, you will find that God has this amazing invitation. Come on. Come on. Come to me. Come. Come unto me. All that labor and the heaven laden. He gave you a blank check to pray. That's exactly what He did. He said, now when you pray, just come. Now sometimes when you ask Him, He's going to say no. That's why I knew He wasn't going to give me what I asked. The no always means He's got something better for you. How do you see what I'm saying? You want to take your no and think, well, see, I told you God wouldn't answer me. But you didn't wait. You didn't wait. When you wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon Him will know what? Their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. In this pandemic, saints of God need to start lifting up your head. Yeah, wear your mask, but lift up your head. People say, what are you doing? I'm praying. I'm casting a shadow over this thing right now. And the shadow of God always means that His presence is near. Do you know what the Bible says? It says His mercy endures forever. Going back to what it was said a few minutes ago, that when you begin to pray, Charles Spurgeon said, when you pray, you cast a shadow of mercy over that situation and over that. God may not come when you want Him to, but He's always on time. When you pray, you can unload that burden of sin guilt. Because every time you pray, the devil wants to get right down there with you. Anytime he invaded Jesus fasting and praying in the wilderness, here Jesus was sent by the Spirit into the wilderness, and the devil came in and trying to interrupt him. Now, let me interrupt you, Jesus. Hold on, wait a minute. Don't talk to the Father. And Jesus said, get behind me, devil. It is written, when you've got the living word of God, you don't need to come in with a consciousness of sin. Yeah, God knows you failed Him. And yeah, He knows that if you had the opportunity, you'd fail Him again. But, as James Cleveland says, something got a hold of me. Are y'all listening? If you got the power of the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you, and you sincerely want to follow Him, He will keep you in the right frame of mind, in the right frame of service. Are y'all still here? You're shaking your head like, yeah. In other words, go back and read your notes. I got to read them again myself because I can't believe that prayer could be this good. The last point I want to close with and the application that I want to give you, He invites us to pray, right? He invites us to pray. So we don't need to bring with us in prayer that consciousness of sin because Jesus has pardoned us in our sin. Every time we doubt our forgiveness, we're doubting the atonement of Jesus. We're doubting if what He did really worked. Never doubt Him. He gave His blood to redeem you. Never doubt Him. Always have the confidence. Lord, You're bigger than my sin. Thank You for Your forgiveness and Your grace. But then the last thing, the emotional challenges that we face, it might drive you to your knees, but don't let it drive you out of your mind. He looks at the Bible and tells him, hold on, your change is on its way. Elijah was a man that could stand there and said, wait a minute, God ain't going to let it rain. Now, I imagine at the end of the first day, he probably said to himself, oh man, I don't know whether this thing will work or not, But then he said, wait a minute. God told me. God said this would happen. What you've got to start doing is read the promises of God and quit going by your wish list. Your wish list might not happen, but I tell you what will happen. Every promise of God is yea and amen in Christ. Everything that he told you he would do for you, he's going to do it. Oh, do I have some listening folk in here? Every time you get weak, you said, wait a minute, I'm weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Jesus, you brought me this far. Now take me the rest of the way. Let your confidence be in God. Let your confidence be in God. And remember that he's the one that wants us to pray. He's the one that also, everybody say also, responds to your prayer. Every prayer that goes up to heaven, God gives a response. And even weak Elijah got a response to his prayers. 3.5 years went by, and it didn't rain. You know how precious your prayers are to God? In the book of Revelation, one of the seals is broken. And it says that there was silence in heaven. And we read that part. Yeah, there's silence in heaven. But God at that time wanted the incense to come up before him as a memorial of the prayers of the saints. In other words, God made heaven hush. It didn't say anything until the prayers could come up. Was that one of your prayers? Was it one of my prayers? And we don't know individually, but we know that collectively the prayers go up before God and they get a response from God. People say when the praises go up, yeah, you can put praise in it too. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. We're going to get to pray. No, next week. I know y'all looking at me saying, wait, next week. I thought he was finished preaching. Lord, let him preach. Let him finish preach. I'm going to finish. Amen. But you will never pray a prayer that you don't get a response from God. Never. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no, but remember the no always means he's got something better. If you don't pray, if you don't exercise this gift, then what you're doing is denying yourself of a heavenly right. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. While we're on this earth, exercise prayer. Now, you know what exercise is. Yeah, it's what you promise you're going to do every day. Every day. Since January 1st, I'm going to exercise. Yeah, ice storm coming. I'm going to stop exercising. You got to exercise the gift of prayer. And when you do that, your Heavenly Father is always listening. What a precious thing that is to know that you've got the ear and the attention of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for how powerful this prayer thing is. I want to admit, Lord, even though I studied hours to work on this and to listen to you as you would move upon my heart, I still don't understand all of it, but I want to do it. I want to commit to prayer. I want to commit. And right now, God, I commit to talking with you and to listening to you through your word and through the Holy Spirit, listening that you would tell me and give me direction so that I would know what to do. If you're praying this with me and you're asking right now, I want to pray. If you've never met the Lord, you can meet him in prayer. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to wash away my sin and make me a new creature in Christ. God, I pray you do it. Do it, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. Do it because, Lord, there are people that need you. And by the way, each time you pray going forward, always pray in Jesus' name. That's a welcome in heaven. It always will get the door open when you pray in Jesus' name. Bless us now, God. Thank you for this time of worship that we've had. May we now go out and exercise what you've given us, the power of prayer. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, that died on the cross for our sin, was raised, Lord, to justify us in glory, sent back the promise of the Holy Spirit who dwells with us right now. We pray this in his name and for his glory. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. As we go out today, remember, thank you for your gifts and your offerings. For those of you that want to give online, go to our website and you'll be able to find the link that will allow you to participate in this wonderful thing called giving. God bless you for being here today. God bless you for tuning in. And those of you that joined us on Zoom, good to have you in worship. Everybody wave at me online. All right. God bless you. Amen. We're going to believe now. We're going to ask that we all stand. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Joe to come up and dismiss us in prayer. Are y'all praying? All right now. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you.
That when the Lord speaks to you, that you can be encouraged. This morning, probably about 12:01 a.m., I couldn't sleep. And God sent me to His Word in 2 Peter chapter 1. And there may be some probably who maybe listening, who may be in the hospital or at home recovering, or who probably may have a challenge that they cannot get rid of. And listen to this very carefully. Peter, in 2 Peter, says in God's word, His divine power has given us everything that we need. I mean, God's divine power. You see, sometimes we rely on ourselves to try to do things or to get things done. But it is only the power of God that we need. And that gives us comfort in all of the challenges that we face. Thanks be to God that He has given us His Holy Spirit. And also he says there, and that is one of the things that really resonated with me. And he says, though these He has given us, His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. You know, we are going through a pandemic, and there are people in the hospitals, there are people at home who are sick. But interestingly, we understand that God is present with us in this time, in this situation, and He comforts us. And we can rely on Him because His promises are true and they are rich, and we can look forward to it. And by the way, the man was going to his death when he wrote this. He was about to die, knowing he was going to die. And he says this. Thank you, God. Father, this morning, there may be one who has given up hope. It is only, Father, in You we can find the things that we need. It is only through Your Spirit and by Your grace, as the pastor has told us in Your word, as He delivers this message to us, that we can find comfort in Your will, in Your grace, to overcome the challenges that we face each day. Oh, dear Jesus, sometimes the challenges are overbearing. But thanks be to God that He has given us the hope of His glory, and that the promises that He has promised us, that we will be with Him eternally. And thanks be to God that He, Jesus, is coming back. He is coming back to take us from all of those things, oh God, that we face today. And that we can rely on the fact that we have a home, a permanent home, where the wicked will cease from troubling, and there will be no more pain, no more sorrows. So we ask today, Lord, as we leave this sanctuary, and as we receive that message that you have delivered to us through your manservant, that we will unite our hearts together in prayer, in thanksgiving, in praise, and in worship, so that your name can be uplifted. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.